This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great day. It is President's Day. It is a day when we're supposed to be honoring all the American presidents. The great down to the totally miserable and pathetic. And who belongs in each category? We will speak about that and much more with Professor Wilfred Riley. He is an assistant professor of political sciences, and he is also a part of the Academic Affairs School of Criminal Justice and Political Science at Kentucky State University. He has written a powerful piece about mass shooting inflation. Not an increase in mass shootings, but an overstatement of the crisis level that we face with mass shootings. This is not to say that it's not tragic, that it's not important, that it doesn't deserve attention, but we're paying attention to the wrong aspect of the crisis, says Professor Riley. He is the author of the book Hate Crime Hoax, How the Left is Selling a Fake Race War, and much more. And he writes for many publications, The Wall Street Journal, Commentary Magazine, National Review, and more. Professor Riley, always great to speak to you.
Always great to talk to you as well.
Thank you, and happy President's Day. Okay, first of all, on this issue of mass shooting, I thought what was fascinating is that what you actually say is, and most people have no idea that this is the case, is that a lot of the crisis air that we have, that we can't continue to live like this. You quote a famous tweet by Robert Rice, a former labor secretary, who says, "We do not have to live like this. No other country on the planet does." In what way do they overstate or inflate the mass shooting statistics?
Yeah, so I was actually prompted to write the article, which appears in National Review. It's called Mass Shooting Inflation by former Secretary Reich's tweet. That's a guy, I mean, obviously across the aisle from me politically, but, you know, someone I respect. And he posted these numbers saying that, you know, last year there were 647 mass shootings. This was up from, I believe, 347 mass shootings in 2015. There are hundreds every year. And it struck me as a political scientist and a criminologist that that just couldn't be true. So I pulled up the Mother Jones database, the FBI database, the general resources people would use to look at how many of these there are. And essentially, I was correct. Sort of the team non-panic was correct on this. It goes beyond myself. But there have been about 141 mass shootings traditionally defined since 1980. So what's going on here? I mean, the traditional definition of a mass shooting, which, again, almost everyone across political lines agreed on, was that a gunman in a public place kills more than four people. And that's the terrible thing that people really worry about. You know, this isn't some mafia hit. It's not an isolated domestic incident. It's someone going mad and killing a good number of people, Columbine and so on down the line. To get to a figure of 647 mass shootings a year, you're literally just taking every case where anyone, including a gang member, an estranged wife, so on, discharges a firearm at more than four people. They don't have to be killed. Generally, they do have to be hit. But you're just talking about all multiple-person gunfire incidents, if that makes sense. And so you wind up with these very weird conclusions, like, by that standard, about 76% of mass shooters would be minorities. They'd be black or Latino gang members. There'd also be some mafioso in there. And so you're talking about something that's bad, but that's kind of common crime, very different from a number of people actually killed in what we think of as a mass shooting. So I pointed that out.
Okay, so what does that mean in terms of changing the need for action. I mean, obviously, each one of these stories has tragedy folded within it. You read about the three students who were killed at Michigan State University, and there are 50,000 students at that university, and three were killed. But still, you imagine the pain and the loss of the parents. What is to be done constructively to try to reduce the level of mass shooting, which when you talk about 143, well, too many, right? You'll agree with that.
Well, I think we had this conversation, actually, you and I on the show during COVID. Like, nobody wants anyone to die. But in leadership roles, which both of us have held, it's very important to look at what the actual numbers are before you begin
absolutely
panicking.
Absolutely right.
So, yeah, no, I think that's correct. But, I mean, like, if there had been 647, more than four people killed, mass shootings in the past year, I would probably favor substantial gun reform, maybe bans, a lot of things. But there haven't been. In the past year, there have been 3 to 4 actual mass shootings. Multiple fatality, you know, the sort of weapon rifle that you think of as being involved. A gunman in a public area where he poses a threat to people that aren't, for example, in that tragic gang world. So that's a very different scenario. So if someone's using a figure of 647 to try to push for a ban on long guns, and the real figure is 3, before we even get to a discussion of should we consider a ban on long guns, we need to remind everyone of what the real figure is, and we need to tone down the panic in the room. What I would do, kind of last sentence here, but I mentioned this in the article, what I would do about mass shootings is to some extent just enforce the laws that we have. Virtually every real mass shooter is almost by definition a lunatic who's being observed pretty heavily by law enforcement. The guy who was responsible for the MSU tragedy, I hope I'm not confusing people here, but I'm pretty sure I'm not, was someone who'd been arrested just 2 years ago for felony possession of a deadly weapon without a carry license. And if he had been convicted of even a minor felony, he would not have been able to buy the additional weapons that he used in the shooting. So simply enforcing the law, charging people with crimes, keeping them inside jail, institutionalization, voluntary or not, of people that are, you know, hearing voices, living on the street, this kind of thing would cut about half of a problem that's already much, much smaller than most people think it is. So I guess that's where I'd begin. Enforce the law.
Okay, and when you say enforce the law, that must include changing the law, because in most places it's almost impossible to commit people to psychiatric care, inpatient psychiatric care, without their buy-in. And the problem is that a lot of people who are most dangerously crazy don't believe that they are.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. And yes, I guess as libertarian as I can be on some things, yeah, I would support changing that law, that if you're a dangerous lunatic, you can't be committed without your spoken or written approval. I mean, that sounds nonsensical. We don't have a similar policy for criminals, for example. You don't need to approve you're being sent to jail. So this gets back to one of the worst bipartisan initiatives in U.S. history, where a couple of years after One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you had the Jimmy Carter Democrats wanting to get rid of mental health facilities because they found them abusive. And you had the just pre-Ronald Reagan Republicans wanting to get rid of them because they thought they cost too much. And all of these clinics, most of which were clean, sanitary, perhaps a bit harsh, but far preferable to living under the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, they were shuttered. I mean, that's what happened in Chicago. That's what happened in Louisville. I think it's what happened nationally. So the homeless epidemic, to some extent, a great percentage of it, at least half, traces back to this. So when people have these conversations about urban planning and they say, well, homeless people are homeless because they don't have homes, that's not true, except in the most glib sense. I mean, if I found myself out of work, I'm fairly sure I could stay with a friend, depend on the church, this kind of thing. The driver seems to be heavy drug use and untreated mental illness, and we do need to do something about that.
Yes, we do. Wilford Reilly, if you can hang with us, I'd love to talk about President's Day and rating our great and not so great presidents. with Wilfred Riley, professor of political science at Kentucky State University.
Entertain your brain.
It's awesome.
Every day on The Michael Medved Show.
A new state tax is projected to increase gas prices by 46 cents per gallon next year. The new tax will almost double the amount of state taxes you pay for a gallon of gas. Plus, it gets even worse down the road. This is Michael Medved for Washington Policy Center. By 2030, the new state emissions tax is projected to add 80 cents to a gallon of gas and 97 cents to a gallon of diesel. Go to deep6the46.com for details. Free history show streaming and a download of our daily show ad-free. That's what you get for all of 22 cents a day when you join us as a member, Medhead Plus. This is one of the great deals available to try to enhance appreciation for this greatest nation on God's green earth. Check it out at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Michael Medved Show, it is a pleasure to speak once again with Professor Wilfred Riley, the author of the book Hate, Crime, Hoax, and another very powerful book, which the title of which now escapes me, but it's a series of rebuttals of stuff that you're not allowed to say. and those, I beg pardon?
Taboo.
Taboo is the title. Thank you very much. And one of the things that is taboo, at least it's in many, many circles, is that you have to at least acknowledge that defunding the police is a an uplifting slogan. It's a worthy goal. It's trying to help us live in a safer, better, more loving, more accepting world. But you actually say, Professor Riley, that defunding the police is a danger. Why?
Well, yeah, I mean, defunding the police is an idiotic idea. I mean, if that were to ever actually happen, I mean, the majority of quote-unquote hood or trailer park communities would look like Dodge City, Kansas, circa 1855. And why this is the case is almost too obvious to be said. I mean, civilized areas have had a king's guard or a city watch since ancient Rome. I mean, the idea that policing began with American slavery is... there's something like that is simply nonsensical. When you take those people away, crime rises. And we've seen exactly that over the past couple of years, really. I mean, from the start of the Black Lives Matter movement in 2014 until today, we've seen an increase in murders from about 14,000 annually to about 22,000 annually. It was 14,164 in the first year, the sort of when Michael Brown, all this happened. A totally justified shooting, by the way. And it was 22,300, I believe, in the most recent year on record. That traces directly to declines in police stops. Jason Johnson wrote an op-ed about this in USA Today, drawing from his scholarly paper. I mean, so police in New York, stops were down 40%, I believe. In Louisville, near me, stops were down 35%, arrests down 42%, murder jumped 87%. And there's been an attempt to say, well, that's just murder, which, first of all, is a pretty crazy thing to say. But we're now seeing, as the crime data comes out from 2022, so on down the line, that all crime increased something like 58% during the COVID era while all this was going on. So if you don't have the policemen or the deputies driving through tough areas of town with the lights on, you're going to have more crime there. That's why it's a bad idea to defund the police. Well, the only coherent argument for defunding the police at all is, well, we don't mean defund. What we mean is transfer some of those funds to nurses and social workers who can accompany the police. But if you talk to a social work professional about what they would need in that situation, mental health training, maybe gear of the kind cops have, vests and so on, additional people in the car and additional vehicles to carry them, that would actually require increasing funding to the police by something like 40%. You're going to have to send a cop and a social worker. You're not just going to send a social worker.
Which is, and by the way, and I would imagine the social worker would very, very much want to be accompanied by a cop if he's going to be making a call on some kind of domestic disturbance. I'm not sure the cop really would want to be accompanied by the social worker. Let me go to another topic, which I don't believe that you've written about yet, but maybe you have, which is the ratings of the presidents of the United States. C-SPAN has taken this over. It used to be done by Professor Schlesinger, Arthur Schlesinger, senior at Harvard. He began this process way back in the 1950s. And they rank all the presidents from the very greatest, who is almost on every list. It's Abraham Lincoln, down to the less successful presidents, and Franklin Pierce, James Buchanan, bring up the rear, according to most summaries. First of all, if you asked your students today who our greatest presidents were, would they have a coherent answer?
Well, I mean, I think at a historically black college in the Midwest, the odds of virtually all of them saying Abe Lincoln are still pretty high. I mean, you might get a few Barack Obama, you know, fan favorite votes in there, but yeah, Abe Lincoln. They might have some issues with Jefferson, but I don't think they'd have too many with George Washington. I mean, as you mentioned, the top of that list, you know, Reagan, maybe the best modern conservative, FDR, you know, like him or not, won World War II. Abe Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. I mean, that's pretty set. The real motility that we see in political science is around how people in the middle, like sort of solid presidents like Bill Clinton or George W. Bush, are viewed. And what we find is that changes a lot as they leave office. Like, the popularity ratings for both of those men were quite low in the second half of the last year of their terms, with scandals, wars, and so on. And Bush in particular now is very popular. I mean, he's painting pictures of baseball players and, you know, going inaugurating things in D.C. and so on. So you do see some mobility there, as we see that Iraq is still relatively stable years on and so on. So that's where most of the motion happens.
Yeah, the one thing, I don't think any president has moved as much as Dwight Eisenhower. Because right now, according again to this very big C-SPAN presidential historian survey on President's Day, Dwight Eisenhower is listed number 5. It's Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, and then Eisenhower. When he left office in 1961, he was ranked as a failure. He was ranked as a below average person, a president. At that time, he was ranked like number 30. And, do you think it might be that he, because he was someone who was almost bipartisan and could bring the two parties together, and by the way, passed some of the most significant civil rights bills since Reconstruction, do you think that it may be representing sort of that hunger for a more less partisan president that led to the rise of Eisenhower?
Well, yeah, I think Eisenhower is the kind of statesman, sort of, not a dull, but a very classy, traditional Cincinnatus type. He'd been one of our generals. He ran for president under this banal slogan, "I like Ike." And, I mean, at the time, I mean, Eisenhower was considered a relatively conservative guy. There was a lot of opposition to him from the New York Times, for example. So you had these kind of petty personal issues. And as you said, when he left office, I mean, he was viewed as a low 20s president. But, I mean, as you look back on some of the things he did, as I recall, it was Eisenhower that spoke against the military-industrial complex.
Absolutely right.
Who really played a role in the USA taking the UN seriously. We weren't even in the League of Nations, whatever you might think of the UN. But who made the comments that he did about bipartisanship. I mean, like, as you look forward and look at what Eisenhower did, and Eisenhower also was one of the major reasons we won World War II, if I recall correctly. I mean, it's you start to see him without the patina of these kind of petty fights. And I think that's pretty common. I mean, like right now, it's impossible to get someone to talk about Donald Trump or even Barack Obama from the other party without a great deal of, you know, frothing and spitting and so on. But down the road, I think that things like the Abraham Accords, for example, where Israel and the Syrian Arab states were brought to the table for the first time in decades, you're going to have to look at that. And if those have persisted, you're going to have to say, well, you know,
that was a historic achievement, no doubt. Wilford Riley, appreciate it. Happy President's Day.
The Michael Medved Show.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. President Biden made an unannounced visit to Ukraine today, just days ahead of the one-year anniversary of the Russian invasion. Biden spent about 5 hours in Kyiv, meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky.
Thank you for your leadership. Thanks, bipartisan support. Thanks, Congress. I think that is a historical moment for our country.
Biden pledged America's unwavering support and also announced an additional $500 million in aid for Ukraine. Another strong earthquake has rattled Turkey. The 6.3 magnitude quake was centered near the Turkey-Syria border in the southern part of the country. Tens of thousands were killed earlier this month after several strong earthquakes hit that region. A powerful winter storm is going to affect millions of Americans. That storm forming in the northwest. As it crosses the country, it will bring heavy rain and snow, hitting major cities, including Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo, and Boston. John Schaefer, USA News.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Special discounts on history shows. Check out MedVidHistoryStore.com.
And speaking of special discounts, right now, because it's President's Day, and we were just talking about the greatest presidents, the least successful presidents. By the way, I don't think there's any question that the two worst presidents in all of American history. I mean, and honestly, there's no competition. There's no one even close. And you may... If you despise Donald Trump, you may say Trump was worse. No, he wasn't. You may say that Obama was worse. No, he certainly wasn't. The two bottom feeders in terms of the presidential poll were right in a row was two Democratic presidents, Franklin Pierce of New Hampshire, who had a serious drinking problem. He was the only one of our incumbent presidents who had a serious drinking problem, partially because it was brought on by the fact that when he was coming to Washington to begin his term, there was a train accident, and his son Benjamin was killed in front of him. He actually was decapitated because of a glass that was coming from it. He was a little boy. And he never recovered. He was a terrible president. Without Franklin Pierce, we don't get into the Civil War. And then James Buchanan, who followed Franklin Pierce, who was also one of those pro-slavery Northerners and helped to create the situation that needed to be redeemed by Abraham Lincoln. Now, what all of this involves is actually learning something. And the one opportunity about President's Day that I wanted to stress with you is that you have the chance to get more than 100 hours of history programs, of storytelling that is factual, that will show you both sides of the controversy, where there is controversy, about some of these indelible personalities and fascinating tales of what occurred behind the scenes with our most powerful political leaders and military leaders as well. The entire collection of Medved history programs is now available at 75% off. It's on USB. It's on the USB or as you order it. And again, 75% off as part of this special President's Day sale, which I think we're going to continue for the rest of the week. But check it out at michaelmedved.com or go directly to medvedhistorystore.com. Okay, talking about education, there's a headline in the Wall Street Journal which is just, your jaw drops to the floor. It says, to increase equity, school districts eliminate honors classes. Now, how does it help equity to eliminate honors classes for people who can qualify for honors classes? A group of parents, they write in the journal, stepped to the lectern last week at a school board meeting in the middle-class Los Angeles area city, Culver City, to push back against a racial equity initiative. The high school, they argued, should reinstate honors English classes that were eliminated because they didn't enroll enough black and Latino students. The district earlier this school year replaced the honors classes at Culver City High School with uniform courses that officials say will ensure students of all races receive an equal rigorous education. Yeah, but again, what you're saying is we're going to increase equity by bringing the top down, not by raising the bottom up. In other words, the idea that there are students who are capable of more and then students who are not, frankly, capable of more, that there are students who do very well if they can perform up to grade level. The idea that this is the, what you need to do is to promote equity is to stop people from advancing to the level that they can actually attain. How offensive and how wrong. And here's what they say. We really feel equity means offering opportunities to students of diverse backgrounds, not taking away opportunities for advanced education and study. That was a statement by Joanna Shainman, who is a Culver City parent who helped spearhead the effort. That's what she said in the run-up to the meeting. School districts doing away with honors classes argue students who don't take those classes from a young age start to see themselves in a different tier and come to think they aren't capable of enrolling in advanced placement classes that help with college admissions. Okay, is every white student, is every Asian student capable of advanced placement classes? No. And the idea that, somebody may be discouraged because it's like, are you discouraging someone from participating in sports if you say, well, you'll do the junior varsity this year. You won't be on the varsity team. I mean, how ridiculous. If people have different abilities in sports, and they do, why is it so ridiculous to think that there are some different levels of ability in academics? Since the start of the school year, freshmen and sophomores in Culver City have only been able to select one level of English class, known as college prep, rather than the previous system in which anyone could opt into the honors class. In other words, you were able to choose the honors class anyway. But they're going to take it away, even though everybody who wanted it was qualified for it. This is ridiculous. Culver City English teachers presented data at a board meeting last year showing Latino students made up 13% of those in 12th grade advanced placement English, but they were 37% of the student body. Black students, however, represented 14% of advanced placement in English and 15% of the student body. So the percentage of black students was almost perfect in terms of representing the percent of the student body. And yet they want to knock out the whole idea of honors classes. You know what this is similar to? Is right now there is a huge controversy involving the American Bar Association and the LSATs, the law school, they used to say aptitude test. They now say the law school admissions test. And basically, the reason is because the tests don't work out with the same percentage. Let's put it this way. One of the things that happens in those tests is Asian people overperform. So you're going to eliminate the entire test? The whole idea of law school admissions tests, and you know, having gone to law school, I've gone through the admissions test, and you know what? It's basically trying to figure out the people who have already made maybe some head starts in the ability to think in legalistic terms, in terms that are going to work in law school. And there have been tons and tons of studies that do indicate that people who do well, particularly with law school admissions tests, tend to do better in law school. And eliminating those tests takes away the opportunity of people to shine and to help qualify for scholarships and to help get admitted to the law school you want to attend. And the idea that because not everything is perfect on a racial basis in terms of everyone performing at exactly the same rate, yes, Asian people tend to perform better on the law school admissions test than others than white people. So that means they shouldn't be required. Some people say they shouldn't even be allowed. We will get to that and more, some questions about education, coming up on the MedMed Show. Okay, it's winter time, and that shouldn't stop you from going outdoors and enjoying yourself and getting some exercise. Relief Factor can help with that cause. Relief Factor is natural. It consists of fish oil and turmeric primarily and other ingredients that have been tested and shown to be remarkably effective. Relief Factor can make you feel better and give you an opportunity to enjoy all kinds of aspects of an active life that you may have been prevented from enjoying in the past. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner. There's a special price available for what is called a quick start with Relief Factor. You take these tablets, which are entirely natural, no chemicals, no preservatives of any kind. This is a wonderful product that we heartily endorse. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor. We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Medved Show, one of the big arguments in American education right now has to do with the idea of woke ideology. And woke ideology doesn't just begin for people when they're in high school or even in middle school. They even include it down to the youngest possible grades. And you see that with a story that is now making international headlines. The publishers of the Roald Dahl children's books, books like James and the Giant Peach and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the publisher of those books is rewriting them to remove language that is now deemed to be offensive. Now, there's all kinds of controversy about Roald Dahl as an individual and his personal political views, which were unwholesome. I mean, and his personal anti-Semitism, which was real and undeniable. And he was a tough guy. But, you know, the kids don't know that. And that has nothing to do with changing. Well, one of the things that they appear to be extremely concerned about in the lines that they have changed, that they have rewritten, are any references to fat. Yeah, is fat a dirty word now? A number of the characters in Roald Dahl children's books are large, are people carrying a few extra pounds, right? And he used the term fat, which is not one of those words that normally is prohibited, but maybe it is now. This is a report from the Today Show about what's going on. Listen.
The controversial move in the world of literature.
Yeah, you know, Roald Dahl wrote some of the most popular children's books of all time, but now the company behind them says it has worked with a collective devoted to inclusion and accessibility, resulting in changes that critics are labeling censorship. From Matilda.
She doesn't really hit children with that rhyming crop, does she?
To Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I find the good ticket.
To James and the Giant Peach. All of the Roald Dahl books are considered classics of children's literature and film. But a new generation of readers might find passages that have been altered from the original text. Britain's Telegraph newspaper detailing hundreds of word changes made to UK editions by Dahl's publisher and the Roald Dahl Story Company. Edits to subjects like weight, gender, physical appearance, and more. In Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the enormously fat Augustus Gloop is now just enormous.
I like a joke as well as the next fat person.
The frightening Miss Trunchbull from Matilda no longer described with a great horsey face. And the Cloud Men from James and the Giant Peach are now Cloud People.
What's wrong with Cloud Men? Is that supposed to be insulting to men? They are now Cloud People? There's more. Listen.
Those who work with young people recognize that they were dealing here with children's literature, and there has to be some sensitivity about topics that didn't exist in time past.
But the changes have triggered a backlash. Writer Salman Rushdie tweeting, Roald Dahl was no angel, but this is absurd censorship. Another critic writing, sensitive readers shouldn't be anywhere near Roald Dahl to begin with. Dahl expressed anti-Semitic views in interviews before his death in 1990. 30 years later, the author's family issued an apology for the hurt his statements caused. Now, the Roald Dahl Story Company says reviewing a work's language is not unusual, adding, any changes made have been small and carefully considered. Other media companies are grappling with similar issues.
Disney Plus has added an on-screen disclaimer to some of its classic films, including Peter Pan and The Aristocats, warning viewers this program includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures. These stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong now.
For families, it's part of an ongoing conversation about how to approach classics from the past in today's modern world.
Okay, some of this is, by the way, the Peter Pan, Jeremy was wrinkling his eyebrows. I saw Peter Pan recently, and the treatment of indigenous people, of Native Americans, what makes the red man red, it's dated. The Aristocats, yeah. But the Aristocrats, maybe it's unfair to French people. I mean,
they deserve it.
French deserve it. Well, again, let's see how Macron, if he holds the line on Ukraine. Okay, in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Oompa Loompas are now small people instead of small men. Why is that important? They have banned the word ugly. It doesn't exist in these books anymore. The word fat is also banned. And in the Twits, Mrs. Twit is no longer ugly and beastly. She's just beastly. Oh, this is all great. Now, I love this. In The Witches, a paragraph explaining that witches are bald beneath their wigs ends with a new line, there are plenty of other reasons why women might wear wigs, and there is certainly nothing wrong with that. Uh-huh. Why? That's important. And then in previous editions of James and the Giant Peach, the centipede sings, Aunt Sponge was terrifically fat and tremendously flabby at that. And Aunt Spiker was thin as a wire and dry as a bone, only drier. Now, both verses have been removed, and they are replaced with these rhymes. Aunt Sponge was a nasty old brute and deserved to be squashed by the fruit. And also they have rewritten it to say, Aunt Spiker was much of the same and deserves half of the blame. This is all so bizarre. Notice from the publisher sits at the bottom of the copyright page of the latest edition of Dahl's books, and the note from the publisher says, the wonderful words of Roald Dahl can transport you to different worlds and introduce you to the most marvelous characters. This book was written many years ago, and so we regularly review the language to ensure that it can continue to be enjoyed by all today. Have they ever done any cleanup or rewording of Alice in Wonderland? I mean, again, there is a great deal of material you could hold to be very deeply questionable.
There's also a big story involving a literary classic, but it's also a religious classic, and it is an amazing story. It's just one of those things that it seems to me deserves some attention. One day, writes New York Times, about 1,100 years ago, a scribe in present-day Israel or Syria sat down to begin work on a book. Copied out on roughly 400 large parchment sheets, it contained the complete text of the Hebrew Bible, written in square letters similar to those of Torah scrolls in any synagogue today. After changing hands a few times, it ended up in a synagogue in northeast Syria, which was destroyed around the 13th century. Then it disappeared for nearly 600 years. Well, now it's found. And this is the oldest complete copy with all 24 books of the Hebrew Bible. And it's about to go on sale. It's called the Codex Sassoon. It's being billed by Sotheby's as the earliest example of a nearly complete codex containing all 24 books of the Hebrew Bible. It's missing about 5 pages, including the first 10 chapters of Genesis. Set to be auctioned in May, the book carries an estimate of 30 million to 50 million, which could make it the most expensive book or historical document ever sold. What's so remarkable about it is that the words are the same as a modern Hebrew Bible that you would look at. Coming up next hour, we are going to be talking about North Korea firing 2 more missiles into its Pacific firing range. And then the schools that ban smartphones. Why? Because they can be addictive and distracting and take a toll on youth mental health. We will get to that and to much more in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.